We're celebrating Earth Day, live on Twitch with Master Bob Ross instructor Nick Hankins. Join in a live painting class Saturday, April 22nd at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Drag out your easel and your brushes and paint along with happy painters from around the world. Let Nick be your guide as you paint a special painting created just for Earth Day. Nick's got a few secrets he's going to reveal too. Spoiler alert, they involve joy. So come join the party. Visit twitch.tv/Bob Ross. It's live, and it's free. And as Bob often says, anyone can paint. twitch.tv/Bob Ross. Saturday, April 22nd at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Happy Earth Day!
My home is in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I spend a lot of time walking around in the woods and talking to trees and squirrels and little rabbits and stuff. And I look at a lot of nature.
Bob Ross experienced the wonders on this planet from a unique perspective. He wasn't a botanist or a scientist. He didn't go on TV and talk about the climate crisis or sustainability. He talked about beauty and nature and the little creatures that inhabited the scenes he often painted. Bob Ross kept it simple.
And if painting teaches you nothing else, it'll teach you to look at nature with different eyes. It'll teach you to see things that have been there all your life and you've never noticed.
Once you turned on the joy of painting, you were converted.
If it does nothing else but make you enjoy nature, it's worthwhile. So, look around. Look at what we have. Beauty is everywhere. You only have to look to see it.
On every new episode, Bob's world was made up of phthalo blue skies, happy little trees, sap green grass, white fluffy clouds, shrubs and bushes, streams and paths, mountains and waterfalls.
Nature is so fantastic. Enjoy it. Let it make you happy.
Away from the cameras, Bob got even closer to nature. And through a friend in Muncie, Indiana, he found a way to literally bring nature to all of us who watched. He often referred to this friend as the Bird Lady.
And people like the Bird Lady here, they devote a tremendous amount of their time and energy to taking care of these creatures. And she's not paid. She does all this out of her own pocket. The world needs people like that. They're special. They're special.
The Bird Lady was Diana Schaefer. And with help from Diana and other wildlife rehabilitators, Bob's most famous guests on The Joy of Painting included an owl, some baby robins, and even a raccoon.
There. Hope you enjoy all the little critters that we put on the show. If you've painted with me before, been with me before, you know that they really do make up a very important part of my life. And I like to share them with everyone. Because I think it brings an awareness. These little critters, we got to take care of them. Get on my soapbox here, but I think we have to take care of these little rascals. I'd like for my great-great-grandchildren to be able to see animals. And not just in zoos.
But the most popular animal on The Joy of Painting, its star attraction, its A-lister, cannot be disputed. It's a critter that got serious airtime on Bob's show.
These little trees would be a super place for my little squirrel. If you've painted with me before, you know I have all kinds of little creature pets. I'm going to share with you today my latest little squirrel that's living with me. He is the most precious little thing. You have to force him to eat, see? We call him Peapod the Pocket Squirrel, because he would live in your pocket forever.
Bob wasn't just interested in making squirrels famous. He rescued and rehabilitated them in his own house.
Peapod still lives in my backyard. We've turned him loose. He's been loose for quite a while. Probably has his own family now. But he still comes every day, and he's like a little puppy. He comes to my back door, and he'll actually scratch on the glass at the back door, sliding glass door there, and hassle me till I let him in, and then he knows where the nuts are stored. He goes and finds the one that he wants, and out he goes.
What is it about squirrels that made Bob care for them so much? And what is it about Bob that makes him so crazy about these critters? I tried interviewing the squirrels in my own backyard, but I was rebuffed. Sure, if you got peanuts, they love you. But for some Q&A, you run in the other direction. So I went out and found a Diana Schaefer of my own, the Squirrel Lady. We invite you to drag out your earbuds and your headphones. Let's take a walk in the woods, follow the path, and find out more about the secret life of squirrels.
I have all these little squirrels in my backyard that I've raised, and it's funny, people come to the house and they're like little puppies. And I'm not exaggerating. They come to my back door. In fact, they've ate a hole through my screen on the patio. But they come through the screen and they come to the back door and they scratch on the door like a little puppy wanting me to come out and bring them some goodies. And they know I'm a soft touch.
Devin Blackburn lives in a happy little house in East Nashville with her husband, Jason. She's out front to greet me, trailed by a little dog named Maybe and a big old hound dog named Mr. Wendell. Devin is a licensed wildlife rehabilitator and wildlife educator. Her specialty is squirrels.
They're a challenging personality type. High energy. I don't mind it. They're my favorite.
Before our sit-down, Devin gives me a tour of the grounds. There's a majestic tree in the middle of the Blackburn backyard.
Whew, I said big tree. Here he comes. Big old tree.
And as we walk towards this perennial plant, a fuzzy friend appears.
This guy must know us because he's not taking off too fast.
He doesn't know me, but but squirrels know me, which is half the reason I'm here.
He's just chilling, eating his seeds. He's here for the handouts.
You wouldn't believe the menagerie of animals that lives around my house that we've turned loose over the years. And they come back, and I'm soft touch. I always have food out there for them. And that's okay. As long as I have food, they will.
We don't have any squirrels that come to visit us that we have released here. Everybody has an offsite release. We did have some from a few years ago, and they stuck around for a long time. And it was always fun to see them. They'd come up to the back porch and sit there and stare through the windows at us.
When they're not hanging at Bob's house, squirrels build happy little homes of their own inside happy little trees. Or they take inspiration from Bob and create one themselves.
Then they'll pull these dried leaves together and start packing them in the branches on the periphery of the tree. And there's one over there. If you look.
Oh, yeah, I'm quite familiar with trays.
Okay, yeah. I don't know the drays.
Drays.
D-R-E.
That's what I said.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. I said trays.
My little squirrels have to have a place to go. In the wintertime, they get sort of cold. They have to go up here and build them a nest. Sort of take life easy.
They will raise their families in there, or two or three of them will get together on a cold night and produce body heat together in there. And when it falls apart entirely or something weird happens to it, they move to the next one.
Soon after I started making a Bob Ross podcast, squirrels entered my life in a big way. For years, I was a dog owner, so squirrels and birds kept their distance. But these days, it's just me, and these little critters have felt more comfortable creeping a little closer.
Hope you enjoy watching those little critters, because they really are fun, and they're very important in my life.
And the closer the connection, the more likely you are to feel sympathy. Devin takes me a little further down the path.
Maybe there's a little path, a little road or something. It goes way back up in there, a little dark sand on it too.
There are outdoor enclosures for rescued squirrels here. A place to give these little creatures the space they need to reacclimate to the outside.
And then things like storms aren't so scary because they have weathered the storms in a safe place, but they still get to hear, see, smell, feel everything and learn how to build expectations and prepare themselves.
One look at these big wooden monstrosities, and it's clear that Devin and her husband have talent. There's no paint involved, but there's plenty of skill, ingenuity. Inside each enclosure, Devin has placed a smaller box filled with leaves and twigs. It helps the squirrel learn how to build a nest.
We fill them with branches and logs, and everybody has different food and water sources. We'll have anywhere from 3 to 7 squirrels at a time.
Squirrels gotta have a little place to play.
Devin has rescued birds, chipmunks, and possums, too.
This year we're focusing more on rodents and birds, so trying to narrow it down.
What caused the change?
Just so that we can do more quality over quantity, and I feel like those are the strengths that I have.
So if you're an injured possum out there, you gotta get here soon because things are changing here.
We do love them, but I think our best resource to the community is doing the squirrels and the birds.
That's fair. That's why I'm here. No offense to the other critters.
She devotes her whole life to taking care of these little creatures. And these kind of people are absolutely wonderful, and they're necessary if we're going to preserve some of these creatures.
The tour ends up on the screened-in porch at the back of the house, where Devin Blackburn introduces me to one very special squirrel.
Let me show you my little pal here. It's a little girl squirrel that lives with me. She is the cutest little devil that you've ever seen. She's my friend. And she is absolutely precious.
That is Odette. And hi, honey. She's really excited right now.
From her small makeshift nest inside an intimate squirrel duplex, she emerges.
The reason Odette is here is she can't be released into the wild. She was a well-intended person, had her and her litter mate. They were born in the attic of their home, and their mother was evicted as a nuisance animal. And then they realized that there was a nest of babies and there was no way to return them. So with their good intentions, they wanted to raise this animal. And on the fourth day, they got in touch with me, and she was probably 5 days old by then. She was brand new, tiny baby. They used a radiant heat lamp and it fell on her. And that is why she has a short little tail, because she lost her tail. That is why her ears are short, because her ears burned down. And you may not catch it immediately, but her two back feet, she is missing almost all of her toenails. And that is a major feature for squirrels, is they have the ability to rotate their hock or their ankle bone 180 degrees. But you have to be able to anchor into something to do that. And she doesn't have those nails. So she is really bad at jumping, landing jumps, pivoting off to make the jump. And she has limited range of motion. And that would be a really important thing for her, because that is how she evades predation.
Sure, Odette looks a little different. And she wouldn't last in the wild in her present condition. So she's lucky to have found a home with Devin.
She has lived with us forever. And she's a very pleasant animal. She still has all of her cognizance very sharp, and her thinking is intact. So she does squirrely things.
We need to take care of these little creatures, because they're sort of the barometer to tell you how the ecology is doing and how we're taking care of this old world. The animals disappear, guess who's next? There. Enough of my ecology kick.
So if Odette is your pet for life, do you refer to her as a pet?
I don't. So I was going to stop you with that one. These are considered educational ambassadors. So they are a representation of their species for learning.
And you can really enjoy some of God's creations by just looking out your window. Because it's unreal what's been done. And we have a tendency in our busy life to forget about these little creatures and to look over them. And my young friends tell me that they really like these little creatures.
That goes with my role as a wildlife rehabilitator, but also a wildlife educator. So they are an educational tool. So they are working animals, and they are my partners.
But I really hope that you enjoy them, because they're, as I say, they're very special to me. Very special to me. But anyway, you know, painters are sort of weird. They like things like that.
She's getting her sleepy face right now.
Yeah, the podcast is putting her to sleep. That happens all the time, Odette.
But
Bob Ross would be proud. Did you grow up with Bob Ross?
I did. I saw Bob Ross on Saturday mornings on MPT. Fond memories. I remember the squirrels.
If you've been with me before in some of the past series, you know I love to show little creatures in all the shows. Well, recently, one of my neighbors brought me over a little baby squirrel that had fell out of a tree, and the kitty cat had gotten, they rescued it.
Spent more Bob Ross Saturdays than we did cartoon Saturdays, I think. I don't know if that was just the dynamic of the household or if we were different little children. But yeah, I remember more of that than Saturday morning cartoons.
I'm here to tell you, you're not alone, Devin. You're not alone. I like cartoons as much as anybody, but there's plenty of people that turned on Bob Ross on weekend mornings, that's for sure.
Right.
This is got to be one of the cutest little things that you've ever seen. And Annette and I have raised this little rascal, and he's almost grown now. We call it Bobette. That way we both have our name in it.
All due respect to Bob Ross, but I'm not inviting a squirrel into my house. Outside, sure, we can hang. but don't be digging into my pantry.
They can have a lot of fun in my kitchen, let's just put it that way.
That happened to us on Halloween 2 years ago.
Trick or treat.
That's exactly what was happening. I went through the back and the door didn't close behind me immediately. It was swinging itself closed. And I guess this was one of the ones that we had released here. He followed me in the house and I didn't even see him.
Yeah.
It was an hour later. I was handing out candy on the front porch and my husband was like, come here. Come here, please. Right now. Stop. No. Come here.
That little rascal, he is such a cute little devil.
And I got on the other side of the door. What? He was like, go look in the den. And there was a squirrel unpacking a bag of almonds and hiding them in various places of the den.
How did you resolve that situation?
I opened the door and threw a nut out the door, and he went after the nut, and it was over.
All right, so I wouldn't. That's how you get it done.
But it was sneaky.
That's sort of sneaky, but it works very well. Works very well.
I haven't had any invasions so far, but once I open my back door, the squirrels are often already out there, waiting.
So if there's more than one out there, I've been jumped on about 3 times now. Once, once they jumped on my arm, once they got me on the side of the head and I just turned quick enough.
And it's my own fault. My mom asked if she could buy me a gift to cheer me up. You know what I asked for? Birdseed and nuts, so I could feed the birds and squirrels. These days, that's what makes me happy. I recognize that I might be turning into Bob Ross.
I really like these little creatures. They bring a lot of joy to my life. A lot of joy. Where I live, a lot of the young people come over just to see the animals, see what kind of creatures Bob's got that day. You can't handle a little squirrel like that and grow up and not like them. I don't believe you can. And I think we need to learn to respect nature and all of God's little creatures.
What's the clutching the pearls thing?
That is just how they stand. They tuck their forearms to their body.
I see Odette doing it now.
She is. We call that the single tuck, and then naturally both of them would be the double tuck.
It's an endearing quality. It's almost like, you know, it's very gentlemanly, I feel like. It's or, you know, like kind of like rah-rah, like they're singing a song in a pub.
Yes.
I'll admit, I'm a softie, just like Bob. I can't get enough of these little devils. But to rescue them, care for them, how do you even get started? How do you know what to do?
It started with a general interest, just in nature and animals. During my very first run with Vet Med, I was in Little Rock, Arkansas, working in a vet practice. At the time, I was the person that would do all of the puppies and kittens that were orphaned and needed to be bottle raised. I had the youthful energy to miss all of that sleep and do it around the clock. And there was a day that somebody walked in with 2 baby squirrels, and same thing. They were like, here you go, do these. And I was like, well, no.
Devin tried, though.
All I knew at that point was how not to do it. But I wanted to do it again.
Well, that's usually how you learn.
Right.
And it's the same, I think, in your everyday life. Anything that you try and you don't succeed, if you learn from it, it's not a failure.
Devin's next stop was Colorado. And while she was there, she got more insight working with wildlife and exotic animals. Then she came home to Tennessee.
But then now I could do it in a place where I really did know the wildlife, where I do know the nature. I saw the need because I was working in veterinary ER at the time.
Animals in distress who show up in an ER typically have few options. They're put down, they're released back into the wild where they're very unlikely to survive, or they're sent to wildlife centers.
The wildlife center options were really limited at that time. There were 2 or 3, and it just was absurd to expect all of the animals in Middle Tennessee to go to 1 or 2 wildlife centers. So that is where Jason comes in, and we had been married for 6 or 7 years at that point, and decide, let's do this.
Anything that you believe you can do, you can do. If you believe strong enough and you're willing to practice, you can do it.
And just like the joy of painting, sharing this experience with someone else elevates it. The joy multiplies.
Jason and I put in a really good team effort. I do. you know, the majority of the animal care. His background is audio and not animals. But he's
nothing wrong with that.
No. But he's really generous and patient with his time and his efforts, and a huge support for me to be able to do as much as I do.
Because yeah, you gotta be down with this if you're a partner, right? If it doesn't have to be 50-50, but you gotta be either the biggest cheerleader or, you know, part of the process at the very least.
And he is.
And that may be the nicest thing of this whole thing, is just sharing what you can do with other people.
He encouraged me to take it to the next level when, after the first year and a half, we were like, wow, we're getting more calls. Well, now we got to add a phone line. Wow, we're getting more animals. We need to build more enclosures. Wow, we need to do the releases faster and more efficient. And those are the things that he's been helpful with.
It's all very Bob Rossi of him.
Yes, yes.
Jason climbs trees too. Not just for fun, but to mount squirrel boxes up there for what Devin calls release day.
Not ready to go back to the wild. So we'll turn her loose here very soon.
Release day is a big day. That's always a fun one. It's everything you work for, all in just 2 hours.
That's the ultimate goal, to put these little creatures safely back where they belong.
I do not keep these animals as pets. I only try to help the rehab people raise them up, and then they're turned loose back to the wild, because that's where God intended for them to be.
There are generalities that we follow, you know, how to get through the formula and how to get through the milestones and being outside and knowing when they are mastering skills.
Devin's also a naturalist. She takes a closer look at the relationships between plants and trees and birds and wildlife. It helps her better understand how to take care of these critters. And by doing so, it helps sustain their environment. In that way, Devin and Bob Ross have a lot in common.
We see things differently. We appreciate nature more than most people do. Enjoy that. There we go.
Devin gave her wildlife rehab venture a name. It's called Lily Birds.
Who is Lily?
The short answer is Lily was my grandmother. She was a farmer's daughter and grew up in agriculture. So she was very influential to me as a person that was interested in those elements. And she fostered kindness and promoted goodwill and was a person in her community that was recognized for those things, very virtuous person. And I chose her as our namesake because that is something we want to perpetuate into the community still.
They're special people. Special people. And there's probably someone in your area that does the same thing. Shoot, go see them. They're usually glad to show you what they're doing. They need your support and help. They're really providing a worthwhile service. Somebody has to take care of these little rascals. I'm just doing the same old thing here. Get off my soapbox. I talk too much sometimes.
Devin's grandmother, Lily May, isn't here on Earth anymore. Hopefully, she's somewhere with Bob and Diana Schaefer, rescuing a robin or feeding a baby raccoon with a bottle. But Lily stuck around long enough to witness her granddaughter's incredible tribute.
She was thrilled. She thought it was great. And birds are her favorite.
We have a few little wild birds and all kind of things like that. Whatever needs to be raised and taken care of, we'll do it. It's my way of saying thank you.
For Devin and Bob, this seems like a destiny, something they've taken to since they were young. And it's not just about birds and squirrels. Bob told stories about his relationship with a creature that was not so little.
When I was just a child, I used to have an alligator for a pet. I worked for years and years ago. I worked for a store one year at Christmas, and instead of paying me money, I was only about 10 years old, they gave me several exotic pets, and one of them was an alligator, and he was only about a foot long when they gave him to me. I'll never forget, I took that rascal home, and I wasn't real popular with my mother when I dumped him out in the living room floor out of a big old bag, but she let me keep him, and I kept him for probably about a year and a half, and he grew to probably close to 2.5-3 feet long. But he got mean. I don't think you can ever make a pet out of an alligator. So I took him down to one of the local lakes and turned him loose. I won't make a big tree. And chances are he's still there today.
What is it about you? What is it about me? What is it about Bob? Not everybody is cut out. Never mind to do this. What is it about the people that really dive deep into this sort of thing that separates us from the pack?
I think the animals are just an element of it, and it's something that brings us closer to humanity on the whole. Jason and I have this conversation all the time because, you know, we see things all the time. We're like, God, why would somebody do that, you know? Or why wouldn't they have just helped a little bit? Or, you know, we have to remind ourselves that not everybody has the same heart.
I raise a lot of little birds every year and turn them loose. And so I have a special place in my heart for little birds.
We want to be the change. And that is one of those common characteristics that we see with these people is they all want to be the change. They do little things to try to make a difference. And these animals are a catalyst for that change. They're helping restore humanity. I mean, it's thrilling to get to work with the animals, but to see the care and concern coming from the people that are bringing them to me.
Wasn't that little bird cute? He's a little cedar waxwing. I borrowed him from the bird lady here in Muncie, Indiana, where we film. And her name is Diana Schaefer. And Diana devotes just about her entire life taking care of these little creatures. Fantastic that people care enough to devote their time and their resources to doing these kind of things. My hat's off to her.
What I admire most about Diana Schaefer and about Devin, and I'm sure Bob admired this too, once you're involved, you're involved. Not every little creature that's rescued winds up back in the wild scurrying up Snow White's arm. Not every injured squirrel winds up like Odette. If you have a big heart, as these folks do, it must be even harder to mend when it breaks.
It is the good and the bad. And sometimes you have to make decisions.
In your world, you make these big decisions where all these little things live.
Sometimes they go out less than perfect, and that's okay. You know, maybe somebody's missing part of a tail or maybe a toe. You know, they're just not like all the other ones. When you look around at the squirrels in your yard, you will see some that look kind of defunct, but they are tough.
They're pretty tough little characters. But when they're babies like this, God's never made a more delightful little thing.
It isn't easy. All of the losses are felt, and they're all taken very seriously. But the objective is to help as many, give them the gift of getting them into care and getting a proper assessment to determine what that quality was before that decision was made, and then giving them a peaceful rest at the end.
Bob would eventually turn Peapod loose, but his pocket squirrel kept returning for an afternoon snack. On a good day, I'll see up to 5 or 6 in my own backyard. There's Lady Nut and Jumpy, Chuck Berry, and the rest. But when I see him, can I really tell one from the other? How do I know that's Greedy Gus and not Professor Nutbutter?
So it was more of identifying them based on personality. There were a couple that had some distinguishing characteristics, one that had a really short tail. We have one that comes around that we know has been here for at least 4 years since we started paying attention to her. One day she showed up and her tail was limp. And we were like, that's awful. You had this big, beautiful tail. And then the next day she showed up and it was gone. It fell off.
Well, what do you know? Just call me Stubby.
A couple of days later, the hair started growing back over the wound. She has this much shorter tail now and it's white on the tip. So we always know her when we see her because she has a white tail.
Like that. That's pretty color. Ooh. Now, part of it, I'm going to put a lot of white in.
So they all speak the same language with their facial expression or the way they use their tails. And there's Jasmine right now with the white tail on her. She's coming down.
That's the squirrel you're referring to?
That's the one I was just talking about.
Jasmine.
Jasmine.
I knew it was Jasmine.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not surprised when Devin asks to pause the interview so she can go serve Jasmine some snacks. This is what happens. You become a squirrel steward. You get attached.
Because a little squirrel, or whatever you happen to have, he allows you to share a little bit of his world for a few days. And that's very special. Not many people get to do that.
So how does Devin feel when release day comes? That day when, for the good of her furry friend, it's time to part ways.
It's bittersweet. You know, if I get a little baby squirrel that comes in the week it's born and we've had this whole journey for up to...
You're an empty nester now.
16 to 20 weeks.
Send them out into the world. Yeah. It's over.
Yeah. Oh, it's good to sleep at night again, though. And
that's what an empty nester would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
A rescue squirrel like Odette can live up to a dozen years under Devin's care. Maybe even more. But wild squirrels have a lot more to deal with to survive even half that long.
Backyard squirrel, I would expect an average of 7 months to 2 years.
Because of predation?
Yes. And also just the anthropomorphic threat, habitat destruction, toxins.
So take care of your squirrels. And take care of the Earth. It's their planet too, you know.
And we got to keep this whole planet together, boy. Because it's all we got at this point. Maybe one day we'll have something else. Right now, though, this is it, so we have to take care of it. It's one of the reasons I like to show all the little birds and stuff on the show. We don't want to lose them.
And whether you're a happy painter or a naturalist, or even a nutjob like me, you can do happy little things to help.
Absolutely engage your backyard wildlife. Be respectful, know their natural history so that you know what you are encroaching on and what is okay to approach. Working with neighborhood pets, that's also a good way to help with their survivability, and that's something you can do. We don't really want cats outside, ever. They are introduced predators, and they have thrived so well that they don't even have to be companion animals anymore. I am a cat liker. I'm not saying this as a person that doesn't like cats. I just kept my cats inside because, realistically, they would have murdered 24/7, and that's not what we want.
But maybe the most important thing you can do, if you see a little creature in trouble, is to call someone like Devin.
Knowing how to help one that's in an immediate crisis. So working with a wildlife rehabilitator. And that's why I brought my setup, so you could see how to reunite baby squirrels to their mom if they're displaced. But also just having the numbers of wildlife rehabilitators so that they can guide you. You don't need exterminators to get them out of your house. Wildlife rehabbers are really good at that stuff.
We can't all be as invested as Devin Blackburn, but we can choose to be kind to animals and be more aware of their environment. Bob Ross taught us that years ago. He didn't invite Peapod on the show to boost ratings. He brought him on to spread joy and to spread awareness. He knew that animals have the power to open up our minds, our worlds, and our hearts.
Just in a word, they are just wacky. They're funny and unpredictable and very resourceful. And clever. I've seen so much brilliance from them. So they...
Watching a little of that right now.
Yeah. She's doing some squirrely stuff. She's really getting into that tube. That's enrichment. Yeah.
She's an educational ambassador.
Yes.
I love that.
Right now, what she is teaching us is... I'm not sure what this lesson is because she still hasn't pulled anything out of there yet to eat.
Oh, that's the one she didn't get through yet? Because she got through.
Oh, she just got one.
There we go.
Maybe perseverance is what we're learning right now.
Perseverance. We could all use a lesson in that.
The whole object of painting is to make you happy. We hope that it also brings an awareness of nature and all of God's little creatures, that you begin to see things, that you look around and you see color, you see form, you see shape, you see all the beauty that's around you. All the time. So often we look all of our lives, but we don't see anything. And painting will teach you to see.
You can become a citizen scientist and report your own squirrel experiences at projectsquirrel.org. And you can find out more about Devin and Lilybirds at lilybirdswildlife.org. The old clock in the woods tells me we've come to the end of this podcast episode. I want to thank my guest, Devin Blackburn, her husband Jason, her dogs Maybe and Mr. Wendell, and her educational ambassadors, Dusty and Odette. This happy little episode was produced with help from James Shapiro at Jansen Media and mixed by digital sound and video of Daytona Beach, Florida. And got to give a big old happy hug to every squirrel's best friend, Bob Ross.
I've got all these done while you're looking at the squirrel.
Support your local public television station. Say thanks for giving us Bob Ross and the Joy of Painting. Don't be shy. Show us your paintings. Use hashtag PaintLikeBobRoss. Bob Ross certified instructors are the only ones that know how to teach you Bob's world famous painting method. Don't settle for second best. Find a local CRI at BobRoss.com and then click Take a Class. If you got your own Bob Ross story to tell, you can leave us a message at 866-FANBRUSH or email us at podcast@bobross.com. And you can follow it all on Instagram at @BobRoss_thejoyofpainting. I'm Ron Scalzo. The Joy of Bob Ross is written and produced by me, Ron Scalzo, in partnership with Bob Ross, Inc. Bob Ross name and images are registered trademarks of Bob Ross, Inc.